It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. It's 4 o'clock on your Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Top 4 at 4 brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. Visit cnbtn.com to find out more about how they are helping you continue to protect your financial future even in the midst of these uncertain times. That's cnbtn.com. Number 1, Vanderbilt basketball player Aaron Nesmith declaring for the NBA draft. You'll remember he's a very good player that went to Josiah James's high school in Charleston, South Carolina, had his season cut short after he was averaging 20 points a game for the Commodores, had an injury about 14 games in, had to miss the rest of the season. He declares for the NBA draft. Jerry Stackhouse's best player leaving today. Bear, I know that must just absolutely tear you up to see a good player leaving the Commodores.
Oh, I'm absolutely heartbroken, Russell. I'm despondent, can't you tell?
Yeah, you're going to get through this, big guy. You're going to get through it just one day at a time.
I don't blame him.
I hope we didn't get to see him play more.
Well, you get to see him play in the NBA, Trey.
Yeah, I know. He had the potential of being a really good college basketball player, so,
Not anymore.
West End Wallace. Crying tears for the Commodores. Number 2, after remaining under the medical staff and self-isolation since March 11th, Detroit Pistons forward Christian Wood has been cleared from the coronavirus, according to ESPN. He's cleared on Wednesday, yesterday, according to sources, after becoming the third known player in the NBA to test positive for the virus after Utah Jazz teammates Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. So good news there. Christian Wood has been cleared. And it seems like these athletes, for the most part, we haven't had any serious complications, knock on wood, from anybody in the sports world. So that has been a good thing for sure.
Yeah, did you see where Steph Curry held a – I thought it was really cool – Steph Curry has 28.5 million followers on Instagram, and he held a live Q&A with Dr. Fuchs today. I thought that was neat, trying to spread the word about the virus.
With Dr. who?
What's his name, Dr. Fuchs? Dr. Fuchs?
Dr. Fauci?
Yeah, him too. Yeah, him
too. Were you using Dr. Fauci with Jim Furyk? Is that what just happened?
Well, his name is spelled F-U-I-C-H. So,
no, it's F-A-U-C-I, I believe.
Okay. All right, number 3.
Dr. Fauci, okay. Dr. Fauci, Trey, we're here to help. Number 3, the Indy 500 has been postponed from May 24th to August 23rd due to the coronavirus pandemic. August 23rd for the Indy 500. That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a crazy race. This is the one that – this and the Grand Prix of Monaco and the World 600 in Charlotte have really – it's really – that's the one thing that's really getting to me, Russ.
They kept the other Grand Prix that goes on at Indy. They're still on for July 4th weekend, which is the same weekend that they would run Xfinity races. So they're talking about doing potentially a doubleheader with NASCAR and then whatever Grand Prix there is there at Indy. So,
I mean, is it Formula? That would have to be an IndyCar race because Formula One will never race at Indy again after the. Or they haven't in a while. There was some big controversy there with the tires, and they basically the drivers refused to race when the green flag dropped. They just did parade laps. I don't know.
It's the GMR Grand Prix, Bear.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to be how they'll be able to pull that off because I mean not to bore our audience to death, but and just real quick, they use two different kinds of tire compounds. and they aren't compatible. That can cause problems between the two series.
I got to jump in here. When we start talking about tire compounds, like we're way, we got people who are probably out there driving or watching their kids at the park for some reason who are falling asleep.
Maybe they need to go buy Matlock Tire and get their tires checked.
Got to jump in here. Since its inception, 1911, Indy 500 has never taken place outside the month of May. All right, and number three. Number four here, UFC star John Jones arrested today or early this morning in New Mexico for alleged aggravated DWI negligent use of a firearm, according to the Albuquerque PD. Also charged with possession of an open container and no proof of insurance, has been released from custody already out there. He tested at or above twice the legal limit when he was administered a breathalyzer test after he was arrested. According to the criminal complainant, an Albuquerque police officer responded to the sound of a single gunshot around 12:58 a.m. this morning. The complaint stated that the officer saw a black Jeep with a man inside the vehicle's driver's seat, identified as Jones, and another person outside the vehicle by the passenger side door. Officer wrote that he saw an open bottle of alcohol behind the passenger seat and that Jones said he did not know where the gunshot sound came from. Another officer was called, and after completion of DWI investigation, Jones was placed under the arrest, had bloodshot, watery eyes, strong odor of alcohol coming from his facial region. Performed poorly on all three field sobriety tests. Yeah, I mean, this guy just can't keep it together. I mean, maybe the most talented combat sport athlete of all time, and I will include, you know, Muhammad Ali, UFC, Floyd Mayweather, whoever, any boxer you want in that statement, and he just cannot stay on the right side of the law.
Russ, I've been following this thing since this morning, and you left out one key thing there. So the officers responded because somebody reported a gunshot. Well, they rolled up on the scene. And this is according to the affidavit that was released, the arrest warrant that was released. They rolled up on the scene. They did the alcohol, they did sobriety thing, blah, blah, blah. He said he didn't have a gun on him, but after they got him in the police car, the officers searched the car, they found the gun underneath the driver's seat, and then they also found a shell casing right next to the driver's door that matched the bullets in the gun.
I imagine they're going to want to match that to any unsolved shootings.
They are. That's what they're doing, Bear. They're doing gunshot. According to the Albuquerque police, they're going to do gunshot residue.
They'll do a GSR test on his hands, and then they'll run ballistics on casings and matches it.
I would be stunned if he shot anybody, but he was just hammered, wasted, driving around like an idiot, shooting his gun off, which is not out of character for him. But I mean, this is his umpteenth arrest, and he's already been suspended multiple times by UFC. I mean, he's such a star. I can't see them kicking him out, but they might have to. I mean, if it were anybody else, he'd probably be kicked out. And you know, it's just,
I think he's done.
It's sad. I mean, he might go to prison for a minute, and maybe that's what he needs, you know, is
he should go to prison. I mean, if you got a DWI last year and then add on to the fact that you had a battery charge against you in 18, and then you're out driving around drinking and you got a gun and you're popping it off. I mean, A, he probably needs to do some jail time, and B, you remember last time this happened where the UFC suspended him? Well, I'm sorry, it was USADA that suspended him 2 years for the drug test, and then also the other criminal charges that were involved last time around. I mean, the UFC can't allow him to pop back in the ring, man. I mean, this. I read a stat today that was very interesting. John Jones has been the UFC heavyweight champion four times in his career. He's also gone into matches four times where he had previously had to relinquish the title. Think about that.
He's the light heavyweight champ, right? He's never fought the heavyweight division.
Yeah, light heavyweight. I'm sorry. He fought Cormier for the double. Yeah.
Jordan Bowden says, if given the eligibility, he would consider coming back for an extra year at Tennessee. Bear, would you like to see one more year of Jordan Bowden in the Vols next season?
Yeah, just because, I mean, he's just one of those kids. You know how I am about the local kids, man. I've made no bones about Jordan being one of my, you know, all-time, you know, favorites. I just loved watching him play basketball, high school and college, and I'd kind of like to see him again. Kid's got swag, he's got style. He entertains me.
What time is Bobby Mays, Trey?
He's coming up here in about 4 minutes.
Well, I guess we ought to take a break so we can catch up with him, right?
Absolutely.
You're running this show, Russell, so do what you have to do.
I just figured we'd go ahead and have this little program meeting on air, you know. Round two matchup two, the Sweet 16, Crown Cleaners King of the Vols Challenge is live as of 9 minutes ago. 2-seed Reggie White versus 3-seed Ernie Grunfeld in the Chattanooga region. And we have 124 votes cast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Russell Smith, and I'm here to tell you it is not going well for Ernie G.
I'm not liking what I'm hearing about the polls so far, Russ, and I'll tell you. We'll see how that looks later on after I've got time to, marshal my forces and set some stuff right on this poll.
You mean log in on all your burner accounts and vote for Ernie G about a billion times?
I'll be voting early and often.
Well, I'm thinking you probably have to vote about 1,000 times to flip the balance of this scale, because Reggie White currently getting 96.8% of the vote to 3.2% for Ernie Grunfeld. Ouch. Wow.
I mean, Ernie did more in his Tennessee career. Reggie did more in his pro career. This is a hard one. I think it should be.
No, it's not. You go with the Minister of Defense. I love Ernie Grunfeld, but it's not hard, Bear. Quick timeout. You're listening to The Drive. Bobby Mays coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. Fan Run Radio, Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Russell and Bear back with you. Pleased to be joined by a special guest back in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Bobby Mays, jumping on with us on the show this afternoon. Bobby, good afternoon. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Just trying to stay Rona free.
There you go. Aren't we all, man? Social distancing, that's the name of the game, Bobby. I know that's hard for a social person like yourself, but we got to stay safe, right?
Yeah, we got to stay safe, man. We got to get through this tough time. And so, but the good thing about it is a lot of people have had time to do things that they normally wouldn't have time to do. And so it's actually, to me, it's been sort of a blessing in the sense of just having time to do stuff around the house or getting your businesses in order. And a lot of people getting their taxes right. Just a lot of different things. And so, just got to take the negative and turn it into a positive.
For sure. I saw a video from you on Twitter earlier today talking about a team you're going to be putting together for the basketball tournament, that TBT thing that we see in the summer, and hopefully we get to have this thing. Tennessee has not had, as far as I know, we haven't had an entry, have we?
No, we never had an entry. It's something I've been talking to the guys about for the past 3 years, and it's been crazy because we've had guys that was on the border. So one year, Jordan McRae was gonna play, but then he got on with the Wizards, And so, you know, Scotty Hobson was going to play one time, and then he had got called up from the Cleveland Cavaliers and then Oklahoma Thunder. So we've had some guys on that list that we wanted to put the team together. But about a couple months ago, I really reached out to the guys, and I said, hey, listen, man, you know, we got, you know, some confirmed guys. Can't have a Tennessee team, I feel like, without Chris Lofton, you know, and that was like a big, you know, deal. And I told Chris, you know, how much it would mean for him to play, just because so many guys always talk about what if they would have played against each other. But like for me, being the point guard I was, being pass first, I would have loved to have a Chris Lofton or a Kevin Punter or play even with a big guy like Jonnell Stokes. And so it was just interesting to see the form of the team that I was able to put together. And I tore my knee earlier this year, so I won't be playing, but I'm the GM and coach. So I just really put 10 guys together that I really believe have a strong chance to win it all.
So can you tell us the full 10-man roster?
As of right now, we got Chris Lofton, Scotty Hobson, Kevin Punter, Jonnell Stokes, Wayne Chisholm, Duke Cruz, John Fields, Cam Tatum, Robert Hubbs, and my main man, Melvin Goins.
Wow. That is awesome, man. You talk about
the Final Four level team.
Yeah, different generations and different guys on that team. That is pretty damn cool. I tried to write all that down. Lofton, Hobson, Punter, Chisholm. So would Punter be the point guard on that team with you out?
We got Melvin Goins, but that played on the Elite 18 with me and a year after me. But we also got Punter, who's doing phenomenal overseas, that's playing the point position there. Chris Lofton has also done a good job with it, and Scotty has played a lot of, you know, 1, 2, and 3. And so I feel like at the guard spots, we have multiple guys that can play that position, as well as Cam Tatum at 6'7". And so we have the size there. Tyler Smith is going to coach. J.P. Prince, is going to coach. Those guys have kind of put the ball down. But I feel like the biggest thing for us is our bigs, man. If you think about, Jonnell Stokes and how dominant he was on the inside, and then Wayne Chisholm, who's, one of the biggest names in Tennessee basketball, and then Duke Cruz and John Fields, are some of the most athletic bigs. And so I feel like, at all positions, we were able to put a team together that could really go out there and compete at a high level.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun. I hope we can get past all this stuff with the virus so that we can play that thing. What's the schedule? When is that supposed to take place?
Oh, it's supposed to be in July, and the first the one that we applied for was Jackson, Tennessee. And so, you got Wayne Chisholm that's from out that area, Robert Hubbs, from out that area. And it's in Tennessee, even though it's on the other side close to Memphis, it's still in the state of Tennessee. And so hopefully if we get through this and we're able to play, that we could get a lot of fan support. I mean, Ohio State won it last year, and they had, a lot of their fans follow. I know a lot of, Vol Nation, always, wanting to know what guys have done after they left us. So this would be a huge opportunity to see these guys and to see how they're doing and things of that nature. So I think it's just a great deal, and, we're grateful to even have the opportunity to play in something like it.
Oh, man, and the Ohio State guys, like, that was a little rivalry we had going on back in the day between you guys and Ohio State. It seemed like, even though, obviously they're in the Big Ten, Tennessee played Ohio State, like, every year for, like, 3 or 4 years, sometimes a couple of times a year.
Yeah, in the tournament, it was crazy. Like, the year before I got to Tennessee, they lost to them in the Sweet 16. My last year at Tennessee, we beat them in the Sweet 16. And then it was, other times since then, it's been crazy with how it plays out. But, they're not that far away. I think it's like a 5-hour drive, if I'm not mistaken, from Knoxville. So it isn't far away.
Yeah, then you had all the stuff off the court with Aaron Kraft and his family. We won't get into that, though. We don't want to stir up bad blood right now here, but that would be very cool if you could get that team together, and we can get this thing rolling here, hopefully, in July, as we visit with Bobby Mays this afternoon here on Fan Run Radio. And Bobby, I know you got your hands in a lot of things basketball wise. I mean, the success of your AAU team has just blown up. I mean, that thing is huge, and you got players going and getting scholarships all over the place, and young ones coming up. How's everything going on with the B Mays Elite Squad?
Oh man, it's been great, man. It's honestly been a blessing. You know, I had a vision. You know, when I was overseas, you know, I had a guy, Coach Scrapp, that's in our program, Larry Rowe, and he basically asked me would I be interested in sponsoring some uniforms for a team that he had called Tennessee Elite. And, you know, I told him, yeah, I love what he was doing when I was at Tennessee. You know, I would, you know, help them get tickets to games and bring the kids around. And then he called back and said, how about, you know, we put your name on the jersey? And I was kind of a little skeptical. I was like, why would you want to put my name on a jersey? He was like, well, we're here in Tennessee. I feel like with your name, you know, you can help, you know, we can help kids get scholarships and stuff. So when he told me his vision and mission, I was like, no problem. And I came home that summer, and you know, Jordan Bowden had played with us some and before he went to prep school. And so that was the start of it, you know. But I was telling a lot of people, I thought Jordan Bowden was the high major Division I player. And I said, he can play at a Tennessee, Florida. And, you know, a lot of people locally was like, nah, you know, we don't have those. That's not possible from here, which really lit a fire to me to kind of prove them wrong. And, you know, he went to prep school. And next thing you know, he was at Tennessee. And then, you know, after that, we had T. Higgins that went off to Clemson to play football. And then, you know, from there, you know, we've had two guys out of Bearden, Quez Glover went to Florida, and then Drew Pember went to Tennessee. And then it just been so many guys that we've had. I think it's a total of 19 Division I players in 2 years. And this past year was just, you know, it was one of the biggest years for us because my little cousin Dante Harris from Alcoa, he signed with Georgetown, and Joe Anderson, Furman, and Emery Lanier Davidson, Jaden Springer, who everybody knows, Tennessee, and so, you know, kid going to Iowa State. So this year was big, but a lot of people don't realize it's so much talent in East Tennessee, and it was a battle on my hands to get the best players basically from Chattanooga to Johnson City to come in the middle of Knoxville and, you know, get players from, you know, North Carolina and the bordering states, because Tennessee borders a lot. And put them together and get a chance to play in front of, you know, the Coach K's, the Rick Barnes, the, you know, the Calipari's. And so, you know, 2 years in a row we played in the championship game and lost by one. It's crazy, 2 years in a row. And last year without Jaden Springer, he got hurt. And so I think now a lot of kids in the area, you know, want to be a part of the program and want that opportunity of getting that scholarship, because at the end of the day, you know, that's what I'm doing it for. And so, you know, we've had a ton of success playing on the Under Armour circuit. And I think it's only going to get bigger and bigger. Just finished our facility. And so now we got a place where guys can practice, won't be getting kicked out of high school gym. So it's been a long battle. But to see where we are now is great. And I think it's done, you know, a tremendous thing for Knoxville basketball, getting these college coaches to come in here and watch these guys.
Bobby, this is Bear. I was wanting to ask you about a few of the kids that are over at Catholic, and specifically Akeem Adesupe, Tamba, and BJ, and then I guess Blue Kane. Just talk a little bit about those guys.
Okay.
What you think their ceiling might be.
Well, Akeem, like I say, I brought him, you know, I'm his legal guardian, brought him over from Africa when he was in the eighth grade. And like I say, he's done a phenomenal job. I mean, Catholic has done a phenomenal job. I mean, they won their first state championship. Coach Hutch is a tremendous coach. And I feel like Akeem is deciding right now where he want to be, kind of undersized, you know, at 6'8", you know, at the high major level. A lot of those centers are bigger. You know, but John Ferguson, I think Tennessee done a great job with him with his size, but traditionally guys are smaller. So Akeem, you know, had a ton of offers, but right now he's just looking for the perfect fit, you know, just to show what type of athlete he is. I mean, he went out to Catholic this year and played football and never played the sport before, but he ran a 4.5 and a 40, so they put him in wide receiver, and he would just, you know, run down the field and catch bombs. And so, you know, he has a bright future ahead of him. DJ Edwards is one of the most, you know, phenomenal kids in the program. He's one of the kids that just, you know, never get too high, never get too low. And, you know, he's five-star. He's a five-star caliber player. Offensively and defensively, he's the type of player that could change any program because he's a winner. He showed that in the state championship game playing against the number one point guard in the country in 21. And, you know, he took the challenge on guarding Kennedy Chandler. And, you know, he outplayed him and he led his team to the championship. So if you're ever in the area, you know, he's a kid that's just worth the price of admission that everybody should see. I'm not sure where he'll end up, but he has the blue bloods. He has so many, you know, he can put names in a hat and basically pick out where he's going. And then you have Blue Kane, who you mentioned, that's, you know, a freshman at 6'3", and as athletic as any freshman in the country. And, you know, has a ton of followers on Instagram for his oohs and ahs dunks and can really shoot the three. And, you know, he has a few mid-major offers on the table right now, but his future looks bright. And then Andre Tombaugh, 7 feet, you know, only a sophomore. You know, he's, you know, from the Congo. He didn't even speak English when he came to America. And yet, you know, he's a 4.0 student at Catholic. You know, everybody loves him, and, you know, he's just a student of the game and just a great kid, and, you know, his future looks bright. And then you have Presley Patterson, who, you know, Butler, Georgetown, Davidson, you know, he has so many guys that's looking for. A lot of people compare him to J.J. Redick. You know, he had made five threes in the state championship, and he's made more threes than anybody in our program by far. And so he has a bright future. So Catholic has done a great job with the kids that they have and their program.
No doubt. They are loaded as we visit with Bobby Mays. Bobby, last thing, we'll let you run, man. We always appreciate your time here on the show. You were the starting point guard on the Elite Eight team for Tennessee, the team that went further than any other team in school history. Obviously, this was a wacky year for Tennessee with the injuries and then, of course, the season ending abruptly the way it did. But you mentioned Jaden Springer. I'm sure you know about all the other talented guys Tennessee's got coming back and into the program next year. Just your thoughts on the state of Tennessee basketball and the future for Rick Barnes' squad.
Well, I think that the team that will come in next year will be as talented as the team that we had that went to the Elite Eight. And a lot of people forget, and, you know, you got to think about it. On that team, you know, I started at 6'3 at the point. Scottie Hobson was 6'7 at the two. J.P. Prince was 6'7 at the three, okay? And then you had Wayne Chisholm, okay, at 6'8 at the four. And then you had Brian Williams at 6'10 at the five. So if you look at it, I was, you know, the smallest guard in that, and that was 6'3". And then you had Cam Tatum coming off the bench at 6'7", Ronaldo Woolridge at 6'9". You know, and so we had a huge team. And when you look at the size of next year's team, okay, you know, if you say Josiah James, you know, at 6'6", 6'7", Jaden Springer at 6'5", 6'6", Keon Johnson at 6'5", 6'6". You know, you got Corey Walker at 6'8". Eve Pons, who I think is the most improved player, you know, on Tennessee. Him and probably John Ferguson, you know, getting back to where they were. And then, you know, having the bench that they have, the kid to transfer from Oregon. That team is really equipped for getting to the Sweet 16 and advancing to the Elite Eight, and I'm picking them early on to make it to the Final Four and possibly make it to the championship game. But I really believe that they have all the tools, and the two guards that they have coming in are as mean on the defensive end as they are on the offensive end. You know, Keon Johnson and Jaden, you know, I'm looking for this film. I want to put up when we played AAU a couple years ago, we played them at that Rocky Top, Keon Johnson, EAB, at the Rocky Top Sports Facility, and the game went in overtime. But it was, you know, it was Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield. It was a heavyweight bout, and they guarded each other the whole entire game. And at that moment, I just was saying, like, man, these two are special. And I never had an idea or thought that they would end up at the same school, but to see where they're heading, it's one of those things where next year, you know, you just don't want to miss. You just not going to want to miss a game. I really do.
Hey, Bobby, it's always great to talk to you, man. Always just appreciate your passion for the game and everything you've done for Tennessee basketball, man. Like when 15 years ago, when you came down here from D.C., like nobody I think understood the kind of impact that you would have, not just as a player, but afterwards. It's been tremendous. Congrats on the success of the AAU squad. And man, I'm looking forward to this TBT tournament, man. We got to have this thing because that's quite a squad you've put together.
Yeah, I just want to hear y'all thoughts. What y'all think? You know, I haven't really asked too many people, and you guys are the first people that I've even told the actual team to. What do you guys think of, before we go, what do you guys think of the team that I put together? Do you think we got what it takes?
I love it, man.
Are you joking?
I'm not familiar with the other teams, what they've got, but competition for playing time is probably going to be your biggest problem, because I don't know, man, how you divide up those minutes.
Yeah, you're right, man. We don't, and we had a couple other guys like CJ Watson, but he just told me, he just said, Bobby, I just for sure shut it down. Like I said, JP Print, Amani Moore still going to be overseas, so we had. You know, it was a nice pool of guys to pick from, and it's just like I said, I really believe it'll just be fun for these guys. You know, some of the other guys, you know, a lot of people. Just make no mistake, young or old, everybody wants to play with CeeLo. Everybody just always say, you know, man, even Lamonte was like, yo, I wish I had a chance to play with CeeLo. You know what I mean? Like, just because of just how amazing of a shooter and big time, you know, player he was. In the biggest moments, you knew where the ball was going, and you knew, you just had a good chance of making it. And so a lot of these guys, I think, are really, you know, excited about, you know, about playing with them and just, you know, being together and just showing, you know, what, you know, the Volunteers are all about.
Well, I can tell you as a fan, we had CeeLo on the show yesterday, as a matter of fact, and he was telling us, you know, he's 34. He says he's wants to play maybe one or two more years and then get into coaching. So you talk about an all-time fan favorite, and it's a shame, you know, we never got to see him play in the league. But I know Tennessee fans would love to be able to see him play one more time. So this tournament might be I hope he gets to play professionally for as long as he wants, but for like fans that might, we don't get to see, you know, his team in South Korea or Turkey or wherever play, it would be great to be able to see him play one more time, especially with all you guys as well. Bring back so many great memories.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's great. Been talking with him, and, you know, I talked to Tobias Harris earlier today, you know, just catching up with him, and he's in Philadelphia just, you know, kind of staying isolated, and, you know, we talked some about it, and, you know, he just excited about just being able to be there, you know, just being able to be out there. You know, Kyle Alexander was another guy I really wanted, and then at the end, you know, he got on there, and I was so happy for him, at the end of the year to get on with the Miami Heat. And you think about it, like guys like Bone, you know, with the Pistons, you know, if you're playing the NBA, you can't play, but Tennessee, you know, has a lot of really good basketball players, Josh Richardson, and, you know, they've done a great job with getting players into the league. And it looks like, you know, coming here in the near future, it's just going to be more and more guys that you will see, I would say, in the next 5 years that make it to the NBA from Tennessee.
No doubt. It's going to be awesome. Bobby, always appreciate it, my man. You stay safe, you and the family. We will check back in again soon. Hopefully we get through this, and we can get you on again and hype up the TBT tournament.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man. Bobby you Mays up. Making his presence felt. Oh, man. Bear, that was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's B. Mays, buddy.
I mean, what a blessing to East Tennessee basketball. I was telling him, you know, like 15 years ago, who would have thought, like, we knew we were getting a good point guard in here, and obviously he took us further than we've ever been in the tournament. But, like, the impact after his career, arguably, you know, if we end up getting B.J. Edwards and some of these other guys, and God willing, we knock that door down someday and get to the Final Four, I mean, like, Bobby played a role in that, you know?
Oh, he played a huge role in it. He was, you know, huge when he was part of that group that set the tone during the Bruce Pearl days, and he kind of, you know, lit the fire there. And then for him to, it's just been a great thing for him to come back and, you know, fight for, you know, to make people understand that there always has been, you know, basketball talent in East Tennessee. You know, with all the kids he named off, I mean, except for, you know, a couple of kids that have immigrated, you know, have gotten over here, these are all East Tennessee kids. You know, Joe Anderson, B.J. Edwards, Pember, obviously, is a big Bearden family going way back. Quez Glover, just that he's, you know, kind of helped put East Tennessee basketball firmly on the map.
Yeah, no doubt. And he is probably the greatest example of what I always say, you know, if you don't have to be from here, but if you love Knoxville and you love Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee will love you right back. And I think Bobby Mays is a great example of that. We got to take a quick break. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this. Radio, Russell Bear and Trey back with you. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. Okay, so I was going over my notes, that 10-man team, and let's get Bear and Trey back in here. You guys will have to help me out because, man, I can't read my own handwriting. This is so embarrassing. Here was the team he said, and you guys help me out here. It was Lofton, Scotty Hobson, Kevin Punter, Stokes, Duke Cruz, Wayne Chisholm, Robert Hubbs, John Fields, Melvin Goins, and then the 10th, I can't read my writing, guys. It starts with a T and maybe an A. Tyler Smith was one of the coaches, right?
Yeah, Tyler Smith was one of the coaches.
Tyler Smith and J.P. Prince, right?
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I wish we'd asked him is asked him, you know, what Pearl stuff he was him and JP and Tyler were putting into practice in their own coaching style. So
do you think they actually like run plays and stuff, or do you think they just D up? And
it was Cameron Tatum too.
Cameron Tatum.
Yeah.
Thank
Cam.
You. Tatum.
I would imagine knowing Bobby, I bet they have plays. I mean, you know, but I've never known Bobby Mays do anything half-assed, Russell. So he's a pretty serious dude. I would say that he's, you know, I would imagine Bobby coaches really hard from what I've been told. He had a hot motor as a player.
I said the point guard would be Punter. He said Goins might be the point. Those are the two guys probably most likely to play the point. Lofton starts clearly, right? I mean, Lofton's the two guard.
Oh, yeah.
The bigs on this team would be John Fields, Wayne Chisholm, Duke Cruz, and Jarnell Stokes. You got to start Stokes, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stokes and Chisholm.
Yeah, you got to start those two.
I'd go Stokes at the five, Chiz at the four, Lofton on the wing, Kevin Punter starting either at the pointer or on the wing. Maybe Hubs. Hubs was pretty good.
Tatum had a beautiful shot.
Tatum was you know who Cam Tatum was? He was Jordan Bowden before it was fashionable.
Yep.
Just a streaky shooter. Like when it was on, it was working, but he could also go into a funk, man.
Yeah, but it was easier for him to melt back into the scenery when you had, you know, Juwan. I wonder what Juwan said. Juwan Smith and Chris and those guys, you know, he didn't. Yeah. There wasn't as much pressure on Tatum as there was on Bowden this year to you know, bring it every night.
That's a damn strong lineup to go for $1.8 million. I'm telling you, Robert Hubbs is still playing. You know, Punter's still playing. Jarnell's still playing. Hobson is. Lofton is. I mean, I don't know what Duke and Wayne are doing playing wise, but you know they're probably staying in shape. I mean, that's a damn strong lineup to go up to go for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're throwing $1 million on the table, give me Bobby, Wayne, and Chris Lofton any day of the week.
Is it winner take all, or do the other teams get money?
No, it's winner take all. The winner gets $1.8 million. The university, if I'm reading the rules right, the school that's affiliated with the tournament gets $200,000 of it.
Oh, okay. So I just did a quick calculation. $1.8 million divided 13 ways, 10 players and 3 coaches, would be $138,000 per person, which would be pretty sweet. But you're saying they take $200 off the top for the university?
If I read the rules right, yeah.
All right.
So I don't know. Russ, would you want to?
$1.6 million split 13 ways is $123,000. I mean, you're talking about putting six figures in those dudes' pockets if they win it. I mean, that kind of money on the line, like, ain't nobody loafing on that team. Dudes would be going balls to the wall.
Well, yeah, that, and I mean, just the person that we know, all these personalities, because we watched him play at UT. I mean, would you want to bet against Bobby Mace if there's that kind of cash laying on the table?
No,
I'm not.
Man,
no. Chris Lofton. You know, those guys are killers.
Those games were on ESPN or FS1, something like that, weren't they, Trey?
Yeah, they were. So I'm going through the rules now. It's not the university that gets $200,000. I'm gonna read you this. How championship prizes split up? GMs negotiate with each team member over his or her share of the final prize. Rostered members get 90% of the prize, and the winning team's top fans share 10%, $200,000.
The top fans?
So the way this thing works is you donate money as well to be able to afford to get in, is the best way that I can put it.
Pay to play. Like,
well, it's not.
Huh.
I guess, but also it's, you can be a booster. You can be a booster of a team. So you could put money towards the pot.
So okay. These dudes might be running out of the tunnel with the pilot logo strapped across their chest, huh?
Well,
that was a drive.
it cost.
I got 5 on it.
I'm looking at it. It cost $1,000 to add a player up until 72 hours before your first game. So
yeah, we need to do some research.
It's going to cost them $10,000 to play in the tournament. So they'll have that thing sponsored by tomorrow. He probably already has it sponsored.
Yeah, those guys round that up pretty quick. All right, matchup 3 in the Crown Cleaners King of the Vols Challenge is live at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 2-seed Chris Lofton versus 6-seed Condridge Holloway. 115 votes already cast. Whoo. I mean, y'all know how I feel about Lofton. I mean, I've fanboyed out over him enough the past 24 hours. guys, Condridge Holloway is the first black quarterback in the history of the SEC. He's the Artful Dodger. He is an East Tennessee legend, just retired last year after a long and distinguished career with the university. A seminal sports figure in this university's history. I mean, you talk to anybody, this is before my time, but all my friends who are like, you know, maybe 10 years older than I am, have said that he was their childhood hero. Like, I can't tell you how many people I know just a little bit older than me who like said they grew up with like a number 7 UT jersey running around the backyard wanting to be Condridge Holloway.
He was the starting quarterback at my first UT game. And I believe I had a number 7 jersey. I mean, I was a little kid, but I remember. I mean, he could do things that would defy, you know, the laws of physics.
So I would touch probably, the phone booth. If it's me, and I'll go ahead and vote right now for Lofton. But that's a pick of emotion, and I didn't get to see Condridge play, so I totally understand. I'm betting you a lot of Vol fans over the age of 50 are voting for Condridge in this one. And, like, it's, you know, maybe a little recency bias here. Right now, 133 votes cast on Twitter. Chris Lofton with 72.9% of the vote.
So yeah, I mean, anyway, he's probably going to get, you know, I mean, there's some recency, but I mean, Chris is just a special player, man. You know, and then you add on top of that, I mean, he just always played with just a big chip on his shoulder. He brought it every night, and then you add to that just the courage and class he showed when he was dealing with the – he never used it as an excuse. You know?
Yeah. Barry, you
was, I don't know.
And Trey, I know you've seen this too. That highlight of Reggie White when he's with the Packers at the left defensive end spot and he's rushing, they're playing the Vikings, and he takes that the Vikings right tackle, who's probably 6'7", 300 pounds, and just with one arm, just his right arm, just flings him up in the air like 10 yards, like something out of the Hulk or something. You guys have all seen that, right?
Yeah.
He's basically
mash on him.
He's basically doing that to poor Ernie Grunfeld right now.
Oh.
95.3% to 4.7%. I feel sorry for Ernie. Ernie deserves better than this, right?
I mean, talk to the committee, man.
Well, think of it this way. We just talked to Bobby Mays, and we talked about all these players that he's bringing back, his Elite Eight team and all that, and who made that possible, right? Bruce Pearl. Bruce Pearl was the coach who brought Bobby Mays to Tennessee. Who brought Bruce Pearl to Tennessee, Bear?
Mike Hamilton.
Who told Mike Hamilton to hire Bruce Pearl?
Ernie Grunfeld.
None of all that stuff, the Elite Eight squad, B. Mays, Chisholm, Hobson, none of that stuff would have happened if not for Ernie Grunfeld. He told,
yep,
when Mike Hamilton fired Buzz Peterson and he called up Ernie Grunfeld, who was then the GM of the Bucks, I believe, and said,
yeah, because he saw him playing every night up there in Milwaukee.
Yeah, so he knew Bruce at, well, he was at Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and Ernie was with the Bucks. And the story I've heard is that Ernie said he didn't suggest to Hamilton. It's like, you might want to look at this Pearl guy. He was like, you need to hire Bruce Pearl. Like, if you don't hire him, you're a moron. And the rest is history.
I imagine he reminded him a lot of, I wonder how much Bruce back then reminded him of Coach Mears, who, you know, went up to Rucker Park and brought, you know, came back, him and Stu, God, what's Stu's last name? What's that guy's name?
Aberdeen.
Stu Aberdeen went up to New York and got Ernie and Bernie in consecutive years.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. Coming up, we'll hit the top of the hour, top five at five. For those of you just joining us. Shamiqua Holtzclaw leading Allen Houston in the other Sweet 16 matchup right now. That one's still too close to call. Shamiqua 62.5% of the vote to Allen Houston 37.5%. We will continue with more The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this.